Okay, in Acts chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, It is not for you to know what? The times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive what? Power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be what? Witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So, verse 7, God does not give us power to know the times, not the exact times. That's in His power. But where He has given us power, verse 8, is in witnessing. So, there's just so much dealing with prophecy. People get excited about prophecy, but it seems like so rarely does it translate into or result in witnessing. It just seems like it's the curiosity factor. I was just reading yesterday that there's a river, I don't know if it's in Syria, I forget the country, but just recently turned red. And so this is happening around the world last year and this year. And then I was reading about in the northeast of the United States, and this is an article, I'm on an email list from a missionary in Israel, and he gathers this information. But anyway, in America, and Michigan is one of the states, it's like us, Ohio, Illinois, Indiana, like Pennsylvania, and kind of up into the east of the United States. I'm not sure how you pronounce the name, but is it cicadas? They're not a locust, but they're... Is it cicadas? Okay. Anyway, they only appear like every 17 years. But last year down in Virginia, in that area, they came out. But I don't know. There's something about these eggs are laid and it's like only 17 years they normally hatch. Well, this year is the 17th year for our area, all these states. And they are predicting there's going to be just millions and millions of these. And the reason they brought it out is not because they are locusts that eat everything. I don't know what these creatures eat, but they say they live about 2 months and they die, and then you won't see these creatures for another 17 years. Although there is a shorter span, and I forget, there's a shorter span that some of these come out, but anyway, the mass of them is at once every 17 years. And so they just said what it's going to be, though, is the picture to Americans like the locust plague, in that they say they're going to cover the ground. So we'll see. But that's the prediction anyway. And they also say that they have in this batch, they have a spore. I think they called it a spore in them. And so this time they said these are going to, the back half of these is gradually going to just disintegrate on them and leave behind these spores. And so we'll see what happens. We'll see if they cover the ground. But anyway, there's just a point about what is coming. And they brought out the verse. Let me see if I can find it here. It was Micah chapter 7. And yes, Micah 7:15. They quoted in that, and remember, this is a missionary from Israel. And the Jewish priest, he said, interpret this verse, Micah 7:15, according to the days of thy coming, out of the land of Egypt will I show unto him marvelous things. And the Jewish priests look at this as a prophecy that before the Messiah comes, he's going to bring the plagues back again. And I'm not saying that's what this verse means. It was kind of new to me. I haven't really had a chance to go over it completely. But anyway, I just wanted to bring it out to you. That's what they think this verse says. According to the days of thy coming, out of the land of Egypt will I show unto him marvelous things. So they think the plagues are going to be seen again before the Lord comes. In fact, the Jewish priests say that the plagues are going to be even worse. Well, I don't know how you'd get any worse than Egypt. I mean, the locusts ate every green thing. You know, the hail broke all the trees. I don't know how you get much worse than that. But anyway, that's what they are seeing. That's a prophecy of. But it's interesting because last year there were locust plagues in Africa, Pakistan, Iran, Saudi Arabia. Mecca was just covered with locusts. So it's interesting that this happens to be the 17th year when, if in fact it happens, they say our ground is going to be covered with these, whatever you pronounce that as. Okay, so. But the point is this. How many people are these events that remind us of biblical times? How much is it stirring up people overall to witness? Well, maybe it is some groups, but I don't really see it. I mean, you would think, wouldn't you, if people really saw these things happening and read about these things, that they would get in church and start serving God? I mean, those that profess to know Christ. But there's tons of people that profess to know Christ, and it doesn't seem to be waking them up. So God hasn't given us power to know the times, but He's given us power to witness. I think I mentioned this in church Sunday, but and Brother Joe sent me a copy of this over too, and I had received it. But this lady, in fact, a lot of the boxes out there, 5 of them are going to this lady and her husband. But she wrote and said this: Dear Liberty Gospel Tracts, thank you so much for always sending us free gospel tracts and discipleship lessons. We have been able to distribute most of them to our online clients in our shop that ships over 500 orders weekly. I don't know what kind of product they sell. Some of them we use here in our new mission work, the Ark Baptist Church in Naga City, where my husband is the pastor. The other tracts and lessons were also shared to other pastors here who have no access to the internet and therefore cannot order from you. We are almost running out of stock, hence this new order. So, I mean, that's what we should see. If people, if Christians are really seeing the Lord's coming drawing nigh, that's the focus you should see. That would be the scriptural thing to see, is a desire to evangelize, a desire to get out the gospel, because we know that when the Lord comes, it's going to be too late. For all those who have heard the gospel, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it's going to be too late. They are going to believe the lie. They're not going to get saved. There are going to be a lot of people that do get saved in the tribulation period, but those who have never heard the gospel. So the purpose of prophecy is not just to tickle our ears or get us excited about numbers or figuring out dates. It's to get us into action. Okay, let's look up Matthew 3, verses 1 and 2. Matthew 3, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying what? Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he was announcing the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So, you know, John didn't come on the scene saying, you know, okay, Jesus is almost here. In fact, he may be here. In fact, he was there. But I want you to guess what is going to be the first day of his ministry. Okay, so get excited about it. Get out your calculators. Start looking at all the signs and the scriptures. Try to figure out the very first day he's going to appear. No, he was just trying to get people to repent and get saved. So that should be the same emphasis that we should have in regard to prophecy. Look at Matthew 25, 13. Matthew 25, 13. It says, Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went, and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into where? Outer darkness. There shall be weeping and what? Gnashing of teeth. Verse 30 clearly pictures hell. It's outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, you know, these people that were not busy about the Lord's work, this one was not even saved. So, you know, I fear for those people who seem to be so excited about the Lord's coming, but the only thing that excites them is the timing. It is having absolutely no effect on the way they're living. And that's the second part, which we'll have to hit next time. But prophecy, should the study of prophecy and seeing these things happen should move us into evangelism, wanting to get out the gospel, and into holiness of living. Those two things, a true study and application of prophecy, should move us to evangelism and holiness. And we're out of time here. The next passage is a longer one too, so we'll hit this next time. But be thinking about that, those two things. A true interpretation of prophecy is something that should move us. If we think he's coming soon, it should move us to get out the gospel while we have the chance. It's kind of like with the Philippine order. You know, we've had the coronavirus and we haven't moved as many tracts and Bible courses because people don't want germs. And so it's affected people around the world. It's slowed down handing out the gospel. And so this opportunity now to help them out is just a wonderful blessing from God to get out all that literature. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us. Lord, we do know that prophecy picks our curiosity, times, seasons. We'd like to know exactly when, but Lord, you have not given us that power, but you have given us the power to witness. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us to be that witness. And, Lord, that you would also help us, as we'll study next time, Lord willing, that it would move us to constant holiness of life, knowing that you could come back at any moment of time. So, Lord, help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.